The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As a newly elected member of the European Parliament, you've got one of the sweetest gigs in politics. A €10,000 monthly salary, a €350 daily accommodation allowance, and a team around you that includes assistants and secretaries and advisors. However, new MEPs have in fact missed the golden era of European politics. That's according to my next guest, Sarah Wheaton, reporter with Politico and host of the EU Confidential podcast. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
So, you've given a number of reasons why it's less fun, less lucrative, perhaps less enjoyable than before.
Yes, exactly. There have been a lot of efforts in the wake of a scandal that took place a few years ago of alleged bribery. It's known as Qatargate. And the European Parliament realized that they needed to show the European citizens that they were making more of an effort. So there are now more rules about disclosing meetings with lobbyists, disclosing assets, and just in general, there's more scrutiny for members of the European Parliament.
Will you remind us of what Qatargate was all about and who was implicated and how much money changed hands?
So it involved several high, well, it involved one high-ranking MEP, a woman named Ava Kiley, and she was working allegedly, I should say allegedly, and the case is actually potentially crashing in a Belgian courtroom today, but she was working with a former MEP who had created an NGO that said it was called Fight Impunity. It was working on human rights issues, but investigators found evidence that it was actually a vehicle to give him credibility and help connect him with members of the European Parliament to help countries like Morocco and Qatar kind of improve their reputation in the European Parliament. So Kylie was found with suitcases full of cash. I think there were millions altogether, but there's kind of a famous suitcase full of 60,000 euros. And she made a lot of very positive comments about Qatar in the lead up to the World Cup when they were really trying to improve their labor reputation.
So when you hear about suitcases full of cash, I mean, therein lies the problem, because you can trace people's banking now online. It's although they can kind of hop money if you're in the business of drugs or whatever, you can hop money over and back to the Cayman Islands and beyond and into Russia and out of Russia and so on, and you might never find it. But generally speaking, online money is easy to find. Cash still remains king.
Yes, and the other irony that people like to point out is that Ava Kiley, this member of the European Parliament, was a champion of cryptocurrencies. But the aim of these new disclosure rules is that assets have to now be detailed much more than they were in the past. They will still be a bit closed to the public. It's really only in private to the Parliament's administrators that they have to show. But, you know, as with any issue, if you are sort of living above your means, then people can, it can raise eyebrows and start looking.
So let's talk about that disclosure. You've got to say exactly what you're doing. I mean, if you have a little side gig, calling yourself a consultant won't cut it anymore.
Exactly. So that was the other issue that's sort of separate but had been bothering sort of ethics watchdogs for a long time, is members of the European Parliament can keep their jobs as consultants, as lawyers, as lobbyists in some cases, and they could just say, oh yeah, I'm a consultant, I'm a lawyer. We wouldn't necessarily know if they were the type of lawyer who would essentially be a lobbyist on European files or not. And so they still don't necessarily have to list their clients, but they have to say something more than consultant. They have to say, I'm a lawyer for this law firm, something like that.
Now, the thing about your whatever gig you're doing, there is a limit of €5,000 a year. You can earn less than that without having to say anything. But of course, if you get into trouble, the penalty, you can have your daily allowance docked for up to 60 days. And that daily allowance is a nice little earner.
It sure is. It sure is. And that's doubling. It used to be only 30 days that you could lose, but now you could lose for 60 days. The big caveat there is that in reality, no member of the European Parliament has ever been punished in this way for ethics breaches. Some of them have been punished in this way for things like hate speech on the grounds of the European Parliament, but nobody has ever actually gotten in trouble. So journalists here remain a bit skeptical if these are just paper tigers, essentially.
Now, one of the other aspects they have to cope with is there are more journalists than ever going to hound the MEPs. So if, for example, you know, what goes on tour stays on tour, what happens in Brussels stays in Brussels, that's not guaranteed anymore.
Yes, it's certainly our goal. So my news organization, Politico Europe, has been around here for almost 10 years, and we're really growing, and we are feeling the heat of new competition. There are quite a few new outlets, such as a news organization called Context in French, somebody called Table Media writing in German, as well as other kind of longstanding outlets focusing on Brussels have really been pouring resources and hiring lots of new reporters. So yeah, pitch to any aspiring journalists in Ireland, please come to Brussels and help us hold people accountable here.
Now, are they only interested in the politics, or if an MEP is spending rather a lot of time with someone who's not their known spouse, might that hit the headlines?
You know, this is a controversy. Different cultures, and that's the thing I find really interesting about working in Brussels, is different journalism cultures have different approaches. So as you can hear from my accent, I'm American, and we consider politicians' personal lives to pretty much be fair game. Whereas here, it really depends. I know, for example, there's a Belgian national politician who kind of famously had an affair with an Italian porn star, but it wasn't really covered by local Belgian media very much because they considered that to be his personal life and none of their business. But Politico may well, you know, if it's two public figures maybe having an affair and we can prove it, then we might find an excuse to get it into our coverage.
Now, there's another strange thing that the MEPs might actually have to show up for work. What's that about?
Yeah, well, so it's quite striking. Last year, we would see a completely empty plenary with a member of the European Commission coming to discuss regulations that are important to European citizens. But if it wasn't a very politically sexy topic, then nobody would, no MEPs would kind of show up, or they would just come and make their statement, have it filmed so they could show their constituents at home that they were engaging, but then they would leave. And so the Parliament has made some rules to say basically you have to show up to the debate if you want to talk in it.
Okay, so what they called drive-by speechifying is no longer the case.
Well, I mean, we'll see. So the new Parliament has been in for a few months now. They've only met a few times, and I'll be very curious to see if any of these rules are enforced, because a kind of running theme in the European Parliament is they do often have pretty decent rules, but they rarely enforce them.
Now, the Parliament has limited enough powers. I mean, it can approve the new commission. It must do, in fact, or they don't get to serve. But maybe they don't show up because they don't feel as if they've a lot to offer.
Yeah, the Parliament is not able to propose legislation organically. They can comment on and tweak and adjust and even shoot down legislation, but basically it originates in the European Commission, the executive branch of the EU. But as you said, we're really looking at a moment of kind of peak power for the European Parliament. In the coming months, they will be grilling the nominees to serve on the next commission, and they can vote them up or down.
Now, the other thing is, when you get a job as an MEP, and if you're reasonably visible, you're guaranteed, when you're no longer an MEP, whether you retire or whether you're rejected by the voters, you're pretty much guaranteed a job as some kind of a lobbyist if you want it. And that's going to be more difficult.
Exactly. So the other factor in that Qatargate case that I mentioned is that a former MEP, Pierre Antonio Panzeri, for people keeping track at home, he left office, and then he opened this NGO, and he was able to just walk into the European Parliament as a former MEP without really any oversight, do pretty much whatever he wanted. His NGO was not registered in the lobbying database as it otherwise should have been. And so in an effort to just kind of make things look a little bit cleaner, they have now made a rule saying that MEPs have to wait six, or former MEPs have to wait 6 months after leaving office before they can start lobbying their former colleagues. They also have to check in every time they want to enter the European Parliament instead of just having an automatic pass. But again, these rules are maybe symbolically important, but as somebody who's covered this for a while now, I don't think it will really make that much of a difference as far as concerns about revolving door, people being able to lobby on legislation or issues that they played a big role in.
I'm sure what they'll miss, though, whatever subsidized food and wine is available in the parliament, and not being able to ramble in and have a cheap lunch is probably going to hurt them a bit.
Well, I'm sure there'll be many people who would also be happy to buy them lunch. So I'm sure they can find a workaround there.
Sarah Wheaton, reporter with Politico and host of the EU Confidential podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.